Good morning. The January 9, 2018 City of Daytona Beach Special Master Proceedings are called to order. My name is Robert Riggio. I am the magistrate, and I will be presiding over these proceedings this morning. First of all, are there any cases on the... Well, let me go down here. The second item of business is the approval of the November 14, 2017 and December 12, 2017 meeting
minutes.
I have looked through the minutes, and I would have two changes that I'd request. First of all, on item case number 12 in November, it's GEA Seaside Investment, Inc.
I'm an attorney for the special manager.
I'm just amending the minutes right now.
I was going to ask if we could, because I have another case in Seminole County, if we could move that up, if you were going to amend it. I was going to ask the paralegal.
Well, if we can just get through this formality on the agenda, and we can get to that. The respondent is to come into compliance until December 6th, and my reading was that you had custom screens or something of that nature, and the actual date was January 3 of 2018.
I see that. Under the ruling part on page 6?
Yes.
Okay. That's a typo.
And otherwise, they are fine as prepared. And as far as the December... minutes, December 12 minutes, on page 4, at the very top of page 4, case number 7, again, GEA Seaside Investments, it states Mr. Gukel just stated that the case be withdrawn at 216 Morningside by the city, is not as provided, and it's the respondent said that property is not going to be a rental, and the respondent was to file an affidavit to withdraw rental applications within 10 days. And other than that, they accurately reflect what transpired.
Okay, thank you.
All right. On the agenda, are there any cases that are currently in compliance that are not reflected on the agenda?
Yes, Mr. Riggio, we do have a couple. On page 2, case number SMG0517384509 and 511 Harvey Avenue is compliance January 8th.
Okay.
Number 5, SMG051748. For 308 North Peninsula, that's also compliance January 8th.
That's 308 North Peninsula? Okay.
Yes. And on page 4, number 13, for SMG011817 for 613 Willie Drive, compliance also January 8th.
Okay.
And I believe that's all I have.
All right. Mr. Osborne, is it?
Yes,
if this will be a time for you to come forward if you have a request.
Magistrate, I'm here representing GEA Seaside. My name is Attorney Joel Osborne, the Osborne Law Firm, 160 International Parkway, Suite 250, Heathrow, Florida, 32746.
Okay.
We're doing 232, and I think it's 232, and then there's one new case.
This would be items 3 and 4 on today's agenda.
And then one new case. There's one new case on page 3, number 10, which is on here.
Okay.
So however you guys want to proceed.
If, for the record, if you could state why it is that you have a need to have those moved up.
I have my client. My client couldn't be here, but he's in my ear.
No, I'm saying, do you have some? You said something about a case pending in Seminole County.
Yes, I have. I have business in Seminole County. Yes, I'm an attorney. I handle a lot of criminal matters. I have pending stuff in there. And usually the magistrate will give an attorney you know, a little bit of priority so he can go do matters of court. Is that okay?
I don't have any objection to that, Mr. Vigil.
I have no objection.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Majesty.
So if we will move to the top of our agenda, case number 3, case number SMG 05-1746 for 232 North Peninsula Drive, and then follow that with the other two cases.
Thank you,
Ron. I'll go ahead and swear in staff to...
Yes. If all representatives of the city who are going to testify in this proceeding could come forward and be sworn in.
Swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Okay. I see that case number 3 regarding 232 North Peninsula is here today, and the action that is being proposed is to impose a fine. And Mr. Jackson, if you would be able to fill us in on what the status of this property is at this time.
Yes, sir. Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. As indicated, this case is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector for the case is Juan Davis. Mr. Davis has been working with the respondent as well as Ms. Osborne for some time in handling a number of cases that he's had regarding rental licensing. Specifically for this case, he was required to obtain a residential rental license. He is currently in non-compliance. His permit was applied for, and there was a request for additional information back on December 21st that was not responded to. It remains in non-compliance, awaiting the rental license. The staff is recommending a $250 a day fine to a maximum of $15,000.
Okay.
And as I indicated, the inspector is Juan Davis. Attendant, Ms. Davis, if you have any factual questions.
If you could provide me with what it is that are the additional items of information. I know the rental license opens up the door to having the property being reviewed and inspected and brought in compliance. Are there major items of non-compliance?
There were railings that needed to be added to the side entrance of the building, and the front entryway had some exterior door issues that require permits.
Okay.
So they have applied for the permits, and in doing so, they were given comments that they needed to provide additional drawings, architectural drawings, and we're waiting for those to come in so the permit can be released.
Okay. Mr. Osborne?
Yes. My client was told by the magistrate, Mr. Vujicek, to do certain things, and he has done those things. He's applied for the permits. But when he applied for the permits, what he thought was going to be an easy fix with the rails, it turned out that he has to hire an architect. And it's costly. It takes time. He has done that, though. He's getting plans drawn up. We don't feel like he's out of compliance, to be honest. He's done everything they've asked. When he applied for the permits, he didn't know that the building department was going to require him to get drawings to put in a rail. It's something that I could put in as an attorney, but he needs architectural drawings. That's fine, but, he's asking humbly for a little bit of time to get the plans drawn up and to get this done.
Okay. Mr. Jackson, I see that on December 12th that Mr. Vukelja imposed a fine of $200 per day, effective December 7th, on this property. And do you have? I mean, we already have a fine running on the property.
I don't.
It says I can. It says here to continue each day until the permit was applied for, or the fine reaches. Has the permit been applied for?
That's the whole thing. We've applied for the permits, but then the building department says that we need plans from an architect, which we hadn't anticipated.
Okay.
So the application for the permits, that fine is now stopped.
Okay.
I believe it was maybe one day, I believe it's indicated. I don't know how many days it was, but we'll get an indication at some point, an affidavit from the inspector on the time period.
Okay, but they have supplied the information that
Yeah, we're satisfied that they've applied for permits. What has not happened is they hadn't come into compliance. This case has been going on since January of 2017, and while there was a number of cases, and I would agree that there were a large number of cases, we've been dealing with this for long enough time that we're not satisfied that on the answer that, well, we didn't expect there to be additional requirements when we applied for the permit. Even with those additional requirements, we believe that they should be in compliance, and we're asking for a fine to be imposed. If I can have you. Well, that's something and I'll inquire of the inspector, but it would appear that they should have been able to comply as required, and even the request for additional information since the 21st of December to even move forward. I guess my understanding of the permit is that have they actually picked up the permit, or
no.
It has not actually been issued. They've applied, but it hasn't been issued.
Correct. It's still in review.
So I guess my what I would say is, you know, Vujicic gave us a deadline. We did that. We applied for the permits. As we applied for the permits for a handrail, they told us we need architectural drawings. My client has to hire an architect. This costs money. This costs capital. He has not given us a time. He hasn't given us a time, a deadline. So how can you oppose a fine without a deadline? He told us to do something. We do it. Now you're going to say because we have an architect, which wasn't anticipated, which neither code board nor the city attorney nor Vujicic anticipated, so now we should get a fine imposed? That doesn't make sense to me. That doesn't seem fair.
Okay. Mr. Jackson, is the property currently occupied?
I have to look to the inspector.
No, sir, it is not. It's vacant.
Okay, so there would be no one who would be at risk for not having the railings or the entryway in place at this time?
That is correct.
Okay. And is there any type of affidavit? I mean, there is a rental application which has been filed, but there is no renter current. But there is no actual rental license that would allow them to rent the unit.
That's correct. It's been placed on hold pending the outcome of this building permit and final inspections.
Okay.
We're not asking for the rental license to be issued until everything's done. We're just asking for time for the architect to draw plans for a railing. I know it's complex, but we're gonna get him to draw plans for a railing and get it done. We're not asking for the rental license to be issued. There's no tenant in there. There's nobody in there. We just need time to do it. I don't see why the city can impose a fine after we've complied with everything the special magistrate asked.
Mr. Osborne, I am sort of familiar with plan drawing, and railings and entryways are not that complex.
No, they're
but
not.
I guess the question is, how long do you think it will take?
That's something that the special magistrate before has allowed me and Ms. Davis to kind of confer, and we've had no problem conferring and working together on this.
What do you estimate it will take to turn around?
30 days.
30 days. So you believe that by the next hearing date, you will have a set of plans
I believe in the next 30 days we will have the plans and the railing put in place. Everything done, complete compliance in 30 days.
Okay. Mr. Jackson, what do you say to the fact that the property is currently not being rented out as it relates to the issue of these what appear to be final items of compliance?
Ms. Riggio, the position of the city is that the property for such state, the whole list and gamut of properties that we had requested for properties not to be rented or re-rented during these time periods. So to us, that's not as significant. What is significant, though, is that we required them and requested that they obtain the necessary permits ever since January of 2017. The grace of the magistrate has allowed them time, and that time is now run, and it hasn't happened. We understand that, and anyone would understand that there are things that does arise when you file for a permit that may require additional time, and that's why they needed to be working on the front end and not on the back end of their time periods, which is unfortunately what they've done in this situation. And so the position of the city hasn't changed. That we request a $250 fine to for a maximum of $15,000. Obviously, that's fully ultimately your discretion, but that's the position of the city.
Okay. Mr. Jackson, with respect to the code itself, how does this fine fit in? What is it that they are in violation of?
They're in violation of not having obtained a rental license.
There's no one in place. You're violating for no rental license with no tenant.
This is property that's been rented, was being held out as rental, but for the intervention of the city, we believe would still be rented. And so the fact that currently there's no one rented because by order of magistrate or by absence of intervention is not something that would turn, unless they're putting forth an affidavit saying they don't intend or ever will rent the property, then it's still rental property as far as we're concerned.
Okay. Mr. Osborne, would your client be willing to put forward an affidavit will not rent the property until he has a rental license?
Yes, in lieu of a fine we will, but we don't even think that's necessary because he keeps saying our time is run. The only timeline was that we apply for a permit by a certain date. We've done that. So what arbitrary time period is he talking about? He's talking about a time period that doesn't exist and he keeps referencing it, and yet he hasn't given that specific date. It's ludicrous.
It really is ludicrous. There's an actual order that gives the time for compliance.
And that's apply to the permits.
No, that's not correct. And I'm sure that let's I don't know if this is necessary for the magistrate, but it says GAC, some of us must obtain permits, but number 6, and further, bring the property into compliance, have it inspected and approved by the code inspector, and obtain an affidavit of compliance by January 3rd, 2018, or return for a subsequent hearing for consideration of the imposition of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. So the deadline was January 3rd, 2018, for complete compliance. December 6th was the deadline for obtaining the permit.
Mr. Jackson, was the property occupied at the time this amended order of noncompliance was entered in August of 2017?
I'm just hearing from the background of the inspector. She's saying yes. I would have to look to the inspector on those time periods based on her records, but she's indicating yes, it was occupied.
It was just recently vacated, like in the last month.
Okay. I am prone to agree with Mr. Osborne that if a property is not occupied and if they file an affidavit that it will not be occupied until such time as they obtain a rental license and meet all city codes, that they're sort of outside of the ambit right now of this matter.
Ms. Ridgey, my only response, if I may, my response to that, though, is that we won't need his affidavit if it's ordered by the magistrate that he doesn't rent, occupy, or allow continue renting, which I believe has already been ordered on the property. So in that regard, my question was, if he intends not to rent it in the future, that's what the issue of the affidavit, not the fact that he would rent it while it's not in compliance. We expect him not to rent it while it's not in compliance because he doesn't have a rental license. He should not be renting it while it's not in compliance.
What if we don't rent it until it's no rental license? We don't even apply. We do an affidavit to withdraw and we don't apply until the place is in compliance.
I'm trying to wrestle with how you would handle someone who would come in and file an application and find out that they have similar type issues. They wouldn't normally be cited for a code violation so long as they were working diligently towards resolving those issues and didn't rent out the property.
We recognize that they've been working. We're not satisfied that they've worked diligently enough since we've been going since January of 2017.
But if the property is not occupied and not being held out for rental, then until they obtain the license, they are no different than any other applicant.
But they were compelled not to rent nor occupy until the license is obtained by a magistrate.
Well, I understand they were compelled, but if I understand correctly, some of these units are occupied where there may be issues that affect tenants at this time who may be in premises that do not meet city standards. In this situation, there is no tenant at risk, and if they choose not to rent it out, I don't see them as being any different than anyone else who is making application at this time.
And I just want, for my client's sake, the city attorney said my client's not working diligently. My client has gotten over almost 20 clients in compliance, 20 properties in compliance, and that's on top of having a terrible hurricane that was declared a federal disaster.
So I just want to put that for GEAC side, for Jack Abraman that owns GEAC side. In that time that he's not working diligently, there was a hurricane that was declared a federal natural disaster that blowed almost two roofs. How many roofs, Jack? How many roofs blew off? Five or so roofs in Daytona, but that's not diligent enough.
Mr. Arvigio, if I may, I did hear Ms. Osborne say that he would assure that he would be in compliance next month. We're not changing our position. However, we would, if your decision is to allow additional time, that we would ask that it be compelled to the next month, which is much reasonable amount of time, if indeed that's what he believes he's going to do, and you elect not to move forward with a fine at this time.
I'm amenable to that. What about you, Mr. Manor?
Complete compliance in the next 30 days.
Okay. So by the...
I don't express that as our preference, but we accept it if that's the compromise in the position that you
will. Yeah, I'm just looking at the facts, which have changed to some extent from a situation where you have a tenant at risk in a substandard or a unit that doesn't meet city codes versus a empty unit, which is hopefully being in the process of being brought up to standards, and allows them the time, as any applicant would be allowed in the city, to bring their unit up to standard.
Thank you, Magistrate.
So, I guess what I'm going to do is, I think the easiest way would be to provide any, we have an amended order of noncompliance, let's see, for this unit. And simply change the determination of compliance date is continued to 30 days from this date, which would be?
Well, our next cutoff day for the February meeting is February 7th.
Can you meet that, Mr. Osborne?
Yes.
Okay. and amend that order to provide for a February 7th amendment date. Our compliance date, I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
Okay. The next item is item 4, case number SMG-05-1747. Again, GAI Seaside Investments, and the property is located at 236 North Peninsula Drive. And also, Mr. Osborne, you may, I had indicated previously with respect to the other one that there would be an affidavit that you will not rent that property until such time as you possess a rental license.
Is it okay, Your Magistrate, if I send that over to Anthony Jackson?
That affidavit? That would be fine.
Thank you, Magistrate.
Within the next 10 days.
Our next case is the SMG-051747, Ms. Riggio. And the inspector has been in communication with Mr. Osborne, and I'm sure as well with his client regarding this case. They report that there are issues regarding the property that requires him to have to do major repair. And so they intend on ceasing utilizing this as a rental at this time until they do these major repairs. And they have indicated the willingness to issue or submit an affidavit indicating that this will not be used as a rental, and at the time when they decide to bring it back as a rental, that they will make the necessary applications for rental licensing. And so I'll ask Mr. Osborne to come in and follow through with that representation. But based on that representation, upon receipt of that affidavit, we would indicate this property to be in compliance as to the requirement for a rental license. The two issues for a rental license is either obtain the license or by affidavit indicate that you will not be renting the property. And so in this situation, he agrees that he will issue an affidavit that it will not be held out as a rental, and they will apply upon the decision to make it a rental.
Is that agreeable to you, Mr. Osborne?
That is agreeable.
Mm-hmm. I just have one further request, and they may have already spoke with Mr. Osborne regarding it, and that's that the properties that are waiting and we're not saying that they're in compliance for all code matters, of course. They still need to, we don't have any cases against them regarding the code matters independently, and they would need to take care of these repair matters that's necessary. But in the period that they are not rentals and they are waiting and working on repairs, we would ask that the properties be secured. And so we would want to make that part of the requirement that they remain secure as they get themselves back to normal utilization.
My client utilizes no trespass signs that that are approved by the city, and he does secure because vagrancy is a big an issue. But all the properties are.
Has he signed up, or will he sign up for the trespass arrest program?
Have you signed up for the trespass arrest program? How much is that program? Have you signed up for it?
I don't believe
it's
free.
Yes, he will. He has no problem doing that. He's part of it already.
Well, just a follow up with the.
Yeah, but that's I understand.
Mr. Jackson, I have a question for you. I assume that the city also has some type of way of keeping track of buildings that are in need of repair, even if they are out of the rental license program, so that they don't just sit around being disrepair.
Yes, sir, and that's really the point I'm making, that it won't be able to just sit in disrepair. There will be the necessity to, otherwise to be subject to this new code action. So it will be the necessity to remedy whatever conditions are at the property.
So if I understand, Mr. Osborne, there is an incentive for your client to keep moving forward, because even if he can't rent the property, he will be subject to other code provisions
of course,
to bring that property into compliance.
These are assets that he wants to rent. So, I mean, that's the incentive right there. He needs the rental license, so that will force him into compliance with the codes. But, yeah, he definitely isn't going to let him sit. He wants the rental licenses. He wants to make a rental amount each month.
Okay. And you're agreeable with what the city has indicated for item number 4 for 236 North Peninsula? And
one point of clarification is if the affidavit can be submitted with order that it be submitted within 10 days, and then we will issue the affidavit of compliance.
Okay. I will order, therefore, that the respondent will provide the city with an affidavit within 10 days that the property shall not be rented, and that the applicant or the respondent shall also secure the property and submit it or make it part of the trespass arrest program. Okay. We have another item.
One more. H3, number 10.
Okay. This is item now for consideration. Item 10. Case number SMG-01-1816, GEA Seaside Investment, and this is property at 358 Nautilus Avenue, and the action today to be considered is whether it's in compliance or non-compliance. Mr. Jackson?
Yes, Mr. Riggio, this is comes before you as a violation for no roof permit. Because they had roof repairs and made changes to the roof that required permitting at this address, and so the inspectors indicated that the property remains in non-compliance. He has been in communication with Mr. Osborne. We're asking to give him until next cutoff to come into compliance.
Okay, so that would be January 8th.
February
7th, 2018. There should be a calendar.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
February
7th.
Okay. Yeah, I have the calendar in front here. Okay. So we are dealing, is this property occupied?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And we have a roof that has been put on without a permit?
No, that's not my client's contention.
Okay. The city has stated that there is no roof permit that has been applied for.
Can
and I'd be interested to,
yeah,
you know.
I'd like to explain the story. Back in the olden days, I guess, sometimes instead of just doing a complete new roof on a building, they do what's called a re-roof. And that's where they actually have a roof underneath, and they actually build up and re-roof a roof. So that was the case with this property. A lot of these properties are very old, and they were bought by my client. When the storm came, when one of these hurricanes came, this wasn't the latest one, I think this was the previous one, came, it blew off the re-roof.
My client sent up roofers because this place is maintained, you know, this place is rented, and of course, and you know, you can't have holes in the roof. So he did send up a roof crew, but they looked, and that the re-roof flew off, but the original roof underneath was stable. It was enough to secure the building. It was up to code. So there was nothing needed to be done. So you have a roof underneath that is fine. If they want to go, if Tom or the city says that roof isn't fine, then we could understand that. But how are we going to apply for a roof that's already there?
Mr. Jackson, you could respond.
The inspector is Tom Cleek, and I attend to Mr. Cleek to give you the facts on it.
Good morning. Officer Clegg, my credentials are on file. This is a case from Hurricane Matthew when we originally started. The roof did blow off to the neighbor's yard. The repairs that were done required the minimal permit. It was more than 25%. We had a combination inspector go with my supervisor, Officer Sykes, and they looked, and they appeared that it does need a permit, so we were waiting. I was talking to Mr. Osborne, and he said he was going to try to get a roofing contractor. They were backed up from the hurricanes, from not only the Matthew, but Hurricane Irma. So that's where we stand right now. We were still waiting to see. He still needs, if it was a re-roof, needs to get a permit on it still. So,
is it the city's position that this the repairs that were made tripped the permitting threshold?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And then I guess my client would ask what evidence. We have not received any evidence of this.
I think I discussed with them. I showed them the pictures of neighbors. I think we had prior cases on them when we first had a rental issue with this property. He did get a permit for the window, and he did at the time say he was going to get a permit for the roof when I talked to Jack. And he just said, like I told you, that he had the roofing companies were backed up. He did get a permit. I did get a license, as his rental license was approved. And then that's where we were still working in conjunction with him. It was an impression that he was going to give him some leeway because of the backup from the roofing companies. So Jack was advised when I went to him before you came aboard, I believe.
And Clint is 100% right. We did talk about it. But we talked with the roofer, and there was no need for a permit because the roof underneath is structurally sound. And Clegg is 100% right. We did speak about this. But and I told Clegg I was going to say this is, if you guys are saying that the roof isn't safe, we'll get the roof fixed. But if you're saying that the roof is structurally sound, there wasn't any work done. We don't agree that there was a patchwork of 25%. And if that's the contention, they have to prove it. They can't just say that's hearsay. They have to prove this. There has to be some proof, and it's not just a comment or a picture. They have to prove it to you. And so that's our contention, is that the roof that was underneath is structurally sound. If they're saying that there's a problem with it, we'll get into compliance.
Mr. Cleek, have you or a representative of the city actually inspected the roof?
I have not personally inspected it. Just from the exterior. We have not gone on the roof. The building inspectors usually do that. Officer Sykes was out there. Supervisor Sykes is out there. My contention was with him was that I said, okay, if you think the roof is completely secure and he does not need a permit, we need some sort of statement from a roofing company to the fact. I mean, I think
I do remember saying that.
At this time, we have not got any evidence of that.
If that's what they're asking for, then that's completely reasonable. And if Tom's completely right, I do remember him saying that.
Okay. As I see it, it's the city's position, and the city has looked at the property and said that there is a need for a permit. Mr. Osborne, I understand your position that a general contractor may have looked at it, but at this point, without having either the general contractor or some written document.
What did he pull a permit for a roof that's structurally sound?
I think what is the issue right here is whether or not the damage or the work that was done trips the threshold. And the city's position is that it did. And you're saying a general contractor has said otherwise. That is hearsay.
But so is what they're saying. That's an out-of-court statement used to prove the truth of the matter asserted. So that's both. It's hearsay on both sides. Who are you? I think the fairest thing, I don't know if I don't want to speak for the city attorney, is what, you want a letter from a contractor saying the roof is safe? Isn't the normal goal is, we have a tenant in there, and we were given a rental license, so don't you guys just want to make sure that the roof is safe? And we can do that. I want to assure that as well.
Of course, I don't agree with Mr. Osborne about where the hearsay is coming from. I believe, you know, he's in there with his client. But nevertheless, I think the inspector's already said that if he got a letter from the contractor, that would suffice for the inspector. So, yeah, if that's the question and if that's what they want to do, we can see if that remedy this by next cutoff. Or if we have other issues still remaining, but we'd ask that they be given to next cut off to comply.
Are you going to be asking, did I fine today for non-compliance, and
yes,
then set them for the next hearing for possible fine unless they provide that letter?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what we just asked, isn't it?
No. You will. This will be the incentive that you
bring
in something from your contractor so that we can clear up this discussion.
So
this is a discussion that should occur between you and the city building official, not between you and me.
I agree. So if the contractor finds that there's no damage, will that suffice for you guys? Like, do you guys?
Again, that's a discussion between the city, your contractor, and the city building inspector.
That's completely fine.
Okay. So therefore, with respect to case number SMG01-1816, GEA Seaside Investment, 358 Nautilus Avenue, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by
February 7th,
2018, or be returned to the subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day.
Thank you,
Mr.
And let me just also, while you're here, Mr. Osborne, since I didn't state with respect to case number 3 as an order, I want to make that clear on the record that I am ordering at this time that the order, the current amended order of noncompliance in this matter, be further amended to provide for a February 7th compliance date, and that the respondent provide an affidavit that it will not be renting the property until a rental license is issued.
That is fine.
Okay. Okay. Let's go back to today's agenda. All right. The next item is a lien review, SMG 08-1768-367 Fordham Drive, the Mr. Anthony M. Taco. Mr. Taco?
Good morning.
More.
Can you state your name, please, for the record?
Anthony Taco.
You raise your right hand. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Taco, you are here to request review of a lien entered in this matter. I believe the total amount due was $1,131.61. And if you could state your request, your basis for your request.
I wrote in a letter that in November, the magistrate asked me if I had fixed a wall and reported it in. At the time, I said no. And I believe at that time, he was a little...
I don't believe he was.
Yeah, he was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes, he was.
And at that time, I believe he was a little aggravated and put a fine on me because I didn't report as I fixed. But I kept the call log, and I remember that I did call in 3 times on September 5th for, this is for the wall on the southwest corner of the property. And I did a September 5th, and then I have the call logs on September 5th. I called 1:25 a.m. in the morning and left a message saying that I finished it that day. Then I called on September 5th at 9:57, and then I called, left another message at that time. And then on Wednesday, September 6th at 8 a.m., I left a message to say that I fixed that wall. Now, I didn't receive any call back or any, I don't know what the process is to for verification. But that September, the hurricane came, and this hearing was pushed to the following, October and November. And those two dates, Ms. Davis wasn't here to verify to the, you know, whether I, you know, whether I complied or not. And I had not received anything, you know, paper or anything like that. So I just wanted to correct my, what I said to him, that I did comply by, after fixing it, I called in, and maybe that will help out.
Mr. Jackson.
Ms. Ruggio, the as I spoke with the inspector, credit to Mr. Taco that for his log, it is correct that there was a period when the inspector was not available on administrative leave, and it's consistent with the record that he is reporting. So the position of the city is that we will go ahead and request that you waive the fine. He had requested a he says he requested an inspection. We really don't have a challenge to his indication that he requested an inspection. And ultimately, the inspector, when she did get there, everything that she wanted done was done. So we weren't able to be responsive, and his response, of course, as he said, resulted in him being penalized and appears to have been incorrect. So the position of the city is we're willing to withdraw, or we're asking you to go ahead and waive the lien that ran for
11 days.
The fine that ran for 11 days.
Okay. Mr. Taco, if I can venture, I listened to the tape of that proceeding, and the city is being most gracious because technically on the day that you were not fully in compliance, and I recall Mr. Bukel just saying something about you're going to pay the city or you're going to pay Woody's to tow that car away, which I guess had been there about 8 months. But since the city is willing to waive the fine, I'm going to hereby order that the fine in this matter be waived.
Thank you, Your
The next item is we are now moving into the cases, a continued case, item 5, case number SMG 09-1772, Terry Sitaram and B.B. Sitaram. Are either of these respondents present? Mr. Jackson, the respondents do not appear to be here.
Yes, that's
what
that's
is the city's right. position?
The inspector in this case is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that the property remains in noncompliance, but that the respondents have been working on it, and they just have a small bit more to go, so he is asking that we amend to the next cutoff for them to be in compliance. So we're asking that be amended to the February cutoff date. I guess that's February 7th?
Yes.
Okay. And that would be the compliance date?
Yes, sir.
February 8th?
I think you said 7th.
7th.
7th?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I order, hereby order, that find the current order finding is there. Oh. We don't have an order of noncompliance in this matter yet, do we?
Yes, we do.
Okay, I hereby order that the current order of noncompliance be amended to provide that the respondent come into compliance by February 7, 2018, or be returned to the subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Let's see. Item two is in compliance. Item three we heard. Item four we heard. Item five has been heard or is in compliance. Item six, case number SMG 121793, Baseline Capital Investments LLC, property located at 353 Seaview Avenue. Is there anyone here on behalf of the respondent? Is there anyone here from Baseline Capital Investments for a property at 353 Seaview Avenue? Mr. Jackson, I see that there is no one here from the respondent today.
Yes, sir. And the inspector is Juan Davis, and Ms. Davis reports that she had no contact from the owner, that the property remains in noncompliance. She's asking for a $200 day fine be imposed to a maximum of $15,000.
Okay. I hereby order a fine in the amount of $200 per day to commence on. Do you have a date that you would like it to commence on?
They were ordered to be in compliance by January 3rd.
Okay.
That was the compliance.
To commence on January 3, 2018, and to continue until compliance is obtained or the fine reaches the maximum amount of $15,000. Anything further?
Nothing further.
Okay. Next item is item 8, case number SMG 111786. Beverly Shearer for property located at 1215 Gulf View Drive.
Mr. Regent, I think we skipped over number 7.
Oh. Excuse me. Case number 7. Case number SMG 111785, Hope T. and Kenneth Lindsay, 909 Lockhart Street. Is there a Hope Lindsay or Kenneth Lindsay present? We have no respondent present.
Yes, sir. Mr. Riggio, the inspector in this case is Steve Alderman. Mr. Alderman reports that the respondents have been diligently working on compliance. They have one car remaining. I'm not diligent, but nevertheless, they're down to one car. And because they're down to one car, he's asking that we amend to the next cutoff for them to do the last part of what they need to do to get this property into compliance.
Okay.
So we're asking that it be amended to the February 7th cutoff date.
Okay. Therefore, I ordered that the current order finding the property in noncompliance be amended to provide for a compliance date of February 7, 2018, or if compliance is not obtained, to be returned to the subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day.
Thank you.
Okay, now we get to case number 8. Case number SMG 111786, Beverly Shearer, property located at 1215 Gulf View Drive. Is there a Beverly Shearer present or anyone here on behalf of Beverly Shearer for
1215 Gulfview Drive. There is no one present.
Yes, sir. The this property is before you for imposition of a fine. The there was a bifurcated fine in this partial compliance order as well, that the clean and secure pool within 10 days or imposition of a fine, and then compliance by January 3rd or imposition of a fine. The property remains in noncompliance. The $200 per day, we're requesting that the $200 per day to a maximum of $10,000 be imposed for the cleaning. Well, you know what? There's an update that I have from my inspector, the inspector, Steve Alderman. So I'm going to ask Mr. Alderman to come forward and give you an update on what he's requesting on this property.
Mr. Alderman.
Good morning, Mr. Reggio. My name is Steve Alderman, Code Enforcement, Neighborhood Services Code Enforcement Officer. My credentials are on file. I contacted Mr. Blowers, who is the son of the owners. Now, the complication that we have with for the time on this one, the Officer Garcia opened this up back in May. The parent, the husband or the father died. The mother was moved to a care facility. And so now the son is kind of trying to get it together. At this point, I contacted him or left a message last night to secure the pool. And I went out this morning and took a picture, and the pool area is secure. The screens are back up, and there's a lock on the gate. I'm sorry I don't have photos of my tablet. Just didn't catch them. Anyway, we're asking for an extension to February 7th, amended, to allow him to repair the broken window. And he's getting closer.
Okay.
If I may, since I'm also getting updated, Mr. Vigio, as to the roof damage and drainage, is that something he'll be able to take care of by the next call?
Yes. Yes, it's an overhang. There's actually just an overhang.
Okay. So our recommendation then would be that
amend the next call.
Everything can be in compliance by next call.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. If I recall, the pool was also lacking maintenance.
Yes.
Is the pool being maintained?
I could not see the pool from my access because we can only see it from the backyard, which is actually the city golf course. The screens are in place and the gate is locked. As far as looking at the water, I can't access the property. I do not know.
Okay. It would be nice if you do, because I hate to see that become a mosquito breeding ground.
I agree.
Okay. With that said, I will then amend the existing order of noncompliance to provide that the items stated, the repairing of broken windows, the repair of the roof damage, and I would add the pool, that it be demonstrated the pool be maintained, be accomplished by the February 7, 2018, or this matter be returned for subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Case number 9. Case number SMG 127799, Eva M. Wright and Michael Wright. Are the respondents present? Eva Wright, Michael Wright. Mr. Jackson.
Yes, sir. Ms. The Riggio, the inspector in this case is Jerome McCoy. Mr. McCoy reports that nothing's really changed on the property since our last meeting. It's before you for determination of a compliance date. He's asking that the property be brought into compliance by March. What they need to do is resurface the driveway. He's asking that it be brought into compliance by the
March cutoff. It will take that amount of time to get the permits necessary and to do the work that would need to be done. I would tender Mr. McCoy if he has anything further or if you have any factual questions.
Mr. McCoy, is there anything you would like to add? Do you feel that the respondent will be able to accomplish all of this by the March cutoff date?
Good morning, sir. Jerome McCoy, Neighborhood Service Inspector. My credentials are on file. By the dates that we asked for, yes, I think he will be able to get it into compliance.
Okay. Therefore, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. In order the respondent to come into compliance by March, you have a
7th,
or 2018, will be returned to the subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. All right. We have new cases now. And the first new case will be number 11, case number SMG 011801, Chalmer V. and Ann E. Edwards, property at 550 Foot Court. Is the respondent present? And could you state your name, please?
Ann Edwards.
And could you be sworn?
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Ms. Edwards, do you agree that violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice?
Yes, there were some violations, and we were working on them.
Okay.
I did not meet Mr. McCoy there because I did not know he was coming. My granddaughter was there. He did come, but he didn't come to the door or anything, so we didn't meet him to do, you know, talk to him. But we have been working on the house, and there's been a lot done to it. But, of course, he didn't inspect it because he didn't come in.
Well, let me hear from the city, and they can bring me up to date on what their position is on things, and then you'll be provide an opportunity to respond. Mr. Jackson?
No, Mr. Riggio, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Jerome McCoy. Mr. McCoy reports that the property has a lot that needs to be done. It remains in noncompliance. He believes that it's going to take until the March cutoff date to bring the property into compliance, and so he's asking for the March for the compliance date, that they be in compliance by the March 7th date.
Ms.
McCoy.
Yes, sir. The property, it does have quite a bit of work that needs to be done. I did speak with Ms. Edwards and explained to her that the work that needs to be done will require contractor work and permits to be pulled. And that's why I'm extending the time for her to get that done.
Do the Edwards reside at this property, or is it rental?
It was a rental property. That's how it came into compliance. I mean, it came into my attention because it was a complaint driven by the tenant that was there. And when I went out and did an inspection, that's when all the evidence came to my attention.
Okay. Ms. Edwards, do you believe that you can obtain compliance by March 7th?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You understand, do you have a contractor currently?
No, sir, I don't.
You will have to retain one on a property of this nature. And you also understand that when your contractor finishes his work, you will need to contact Mr. McCoy and have an inspection, and all that needs to be accomplished before March 7th.
Okay.
And if so, then you will be in compliance, and this matter will be closed out. If you don't, we don't like loose ends, and that allows us to be able to bring it to a close.
Okay.
So therefore, I
I find the respondent to be in noncompliance and order the respondent come into compliance by March 7, 2018 and be returned to the subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Thank you. Good luck. Okay. Next item is case 12, case number SMG 011802, Andrew Phillips, property located at 625 Loomis Avenue.
State your name, please, sir.
Andrew Phillips.
You raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Phillips, do you agree that the violations existed or occurred as stated in the notices?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'd like to turn it over to the city, and then you'll get an opportunity to respond.
Mr. Riggio, the inspector is Jerome McCoy. Mr. McCoy indicated that he's had recent contact with Mr. Phillips, and Mr. Phillips is working on compliance, and he believes he can have any compliance by next cutoff, so we're asking for a finding of noncompliance and the February 8th cutoff date for him to come into compliance.
Mr. Phillips, do you have anything to add to that?
I said I'll have it done.
Okay. Then I find the respondent to be in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by February 7, 2018 and be returned to the subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. And Mr. Phillips, I would add, just as I did before, you will need to contact, is it Mr. McCoy? Before February 7th when everything is done so he can go out there do a final inspection and bring this matter to a close.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Good luck. Okay. The next item our next case is number 14, case number SMG 011803, Dexter Hawkins, property located at 2 DiBiase Lane. Is a Mr. Dexter Hawkins present? We do not seem to have a respondent present. Mr. Jackson?
Mr. Riggio, the property inspector for this property is Mike Fitzgerald. The violation was that he had no water services, which he had no water lines, he didn't have anything. The property is now in compliance, but the inspector is concerned that this may arise again, and he's asking for a finding of compliance and then a noncompliance, which may be, we previously would have called our will fine. Finding of noncompliance and now in compliance. I'm sorry, I said it backwards, which would be what we would have called in the past or will find a finding, which intent would be our intent to have a finding of noncompliance for the purpose of repeat violation for future violations.
If you could elaborate, if you don't mind, as to what do you mean water service and he didn't have it, now he has it?
Yes. In fact, if I could bring Mr. Fitzgerald, he can explain the status.
Good morning. Mike Fitzgerald for the City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement. My
morning.
Credentials are on file. The property had people living in it, had no water service.
Okay.
The people have been removed. It still has no water service, but you don't need it since everyone's gone. They've also paid for the permit to have the water put back onto the property.
Okay. Now I understand. Are there the people who were living there are now gone?
Yes, it's a rental.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Then I find the respondent to have been in noncompliance, but is as of this date now in compliance. And should they come back into noncompliance, they will be returned at a subsequent meeting for the consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day.
Actually, up to $5,000 per day.
$5,000 per day. I changed.
Yes.
Yes, $5,000.
Thank you.
Okay. Next item is case number 15, case number SMG 01-1804, Ijaz Ahmed, 1370 South Palmetto Avenue. Is Mr. Ahmed present? And I apologize if I didn't pronounce your first name correctly.
Ijaz.
Okay.
Are you both going to be speaking?
Yes.
Okay. Can you state your names, please?
My name is Christine DiNardo from DiNardo Property Management and Real Estate.
And Mr. Ahmed, if you could state your name as well.
My name is Ijaz Ahmed.
Okay. And if you could both be sworn.
Raise your hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Dr. Ahmeda has hired me as a property manager, so I'm coming into this situation kind of at the end of the movie here. But as I understand, we have complied with everything at this point. I have all the paperwork showing the compliance. We had an inspection yesterday. There were some minor plumbing issues. There was like a smoke detector that needed a battery, a water heater that needed a, you know, so those things will be done by the end of the week. And the tenants will now have a property manager to contact when things are not working.
Well, let me go back a step.
Sure.
With respect to the notices, do you agree the violations existed or occurred as stated in the notices?
Well, I'm not sure, but the violations were kind of vague for me. Like, it was, you know, stated plumbing, like damaged plumbing. There wasn't any specifics. Roof issues, not any specifics. So, but the roof has been certified. We had a plumber go through every unit and certify. We found a few minor things, but anything, but small things. Dr. Ahmed has applied. He had a state license in one name and a city license in another name. So he's applied to get those things in compliance so he can get his business tax license. It has already paid for the business tax license.
Okay. Mr. Jackson?
Mr. Riggio, the inspector is Mike Fitzgerald. Mr. Fitzgerald reports that he's been in communication with, I presume, both Mr. Ahmed and Mr. DiNardo, the rental inspector, the property manager. And they're working on it. He feels they'll be in compliance by next cutoff. And I would have to tender Mr. Fitzgerald to speak to the noncompliance, the damaged plumbing, and the damaged walls for those determinations. I think it is admitted that they needed the business tax receipt. But I'll call Mr. Fitzgerald. That's about the violations.
Michael Fitzgerald. The building department did a rental license inspection yesterday, and it failed. So for the business license, it failed on the plumbing, some plumbing issues. Until their business license is up to date and active, it's still not in compliance. So we're just waiting for them to fix whatever needed to be fixed, and then the business tax receipt will be issued. Then I'll go out and do my final inspections, and it should be fine.
Okay. With respect to the plumbing issues that it failed, do you have any idea what those were?
No, sir, I do not.
Okay, go ahead and tell them.
So there was a water heater that one of the covers was off. The exit lights didn't have bulbs in them. They were not working. There was a smoke detector that needed, and there was a switch by a door that wasn't working in one of the units. And soffit. There was some soffit got blown off in the last storm. Those were the issues.
Okay.
I have the report here.
Did that
yesterday.
Okay. Mr. Jackson, with respect to this, would this be a will find or...
How does the city want to handle this?
At this stage, the city's asking for a finding of noncompliance and that they be in compliance by Mexico.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds to me that you were not in compliance for the business tax receipt, which you have to obtain.
Well, I have.
And you've obtained it.
Right. We're
and you have some issues because this is a rental property. And so, therefore, I'm going to find that there was noncompliance. But and the compliance date would be next 7? Okay.
February 7th.
And then if you come into compliance, the matter's closed out.
Do you need to return if it's in compliance? Or?
No, but you do need, and I have stressed this, you need to coordinate with Mr. Fitzgerald and make sure he or someone from the building department signs off on everything. Don't think that just because you've done the work that you've got to get their sign off.
All right, thank you so much.
So therefore, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by February 7, 2018, or be returned to the subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. And I wish you good luck in getting that resolved.
Take care.
Sounds like you're on your way.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, next item, case 16, case number SMG-01-1805, Douglas R. Miles, and Patricia R. Miles, trust agreement dated 8-6-2-2016, property at 2628 South Peninsula Drive. This is here before for a finding of compliance or noncompliance. And I, sir, can you state your name, please?
Can you state your name for the record,
My
sir?
Name is William Bush.
William Bush, and?
And I'm here for Miss Miles because she's out of state, and she contacted me on the 26th of December and said that she'd gotten this notice and she'd talked to
Mr. Bush,
someone.
Before you go into any detail, could you be sworn
in? Let me go ahead and swear you in before you speak anymore, okay? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Okay, thank you, sir.
Mr. Bush, before you get into your statement, how is it that Ms. Miles came to contact you? What is your relationship to her, the property?
I'm the property manager for
okay.
her.
Thank you.
And, excuse me, she contacted me on the 26th and said that she'd gotten a notice and had talked with someone in reference to this and had made the statement that she had never, ever received any notice. And, of course, that's here and there. But still, she said that she wanted me to go and take care of this. And I went to the property and we got the vehicle that was there was operational, but they were in the wrong position on the property. The truck was behind the fence, you know, and shouldn't be. But I got it all corrected. I got them all out on the front immediately after she notified me about this. We'd done this corrected it within days. That was during the holidays and got it corrected. And I have no intentions of allowing it to happen anymore with these people. If they do, they won't be there. And so I have got the problem corrected and have all intentions of keeping it in compliance. Lady, they're not at all hold back on any expenditures to keep the property in good condition. And I'll be glad to correct anything that needs to be done.
Okay. Mr. Bush, based on your testimony, would you agree that the violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice that these violations...
Do you agree that the violations existed?
Yes.
Yes, listed.
Okay. Let me have Mr. Jackson now make a presentation on behalf of the city.
I would ask, is this a letter from the owner?
Yeah, he emailed it to me on the 26th.
Okay, and I do see that this is from Patricia Miles to
right.
David.
Right.
And,
me,
it, and it's a copy. Okay, and it's a copy of the notice of hearing.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
So that would suggest that she was asking somehow for you to be involved in it. Okay, just wanted to make sure we have records that she asked you to be involved
oh,
in.
Oh, yes.
For
her. She emailed this to me.
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't have any other dialogue, but it does say that. Now I'm going to speak up to the magistrate. I'm going to speak to him, and I know you need to hear so you can stay close by.
I'm looking at you
yeah.
so I can see you.
That's fine. The inspector here is Mike Fitzgerald. Mr. Fitzgerald says there's a history that leaves some concern and the need for finding a compliance or noncompliance, even though Mr. Fitzgerald is reporting that the property is currently in compliance. I do have a citizen who wants to be heard on the matter. I'm not quite sure the information that he wants to bring forth, but Mr. Weatherholtz wanted to be heard, and I will call him and ask that he be heard on the matter.
Mr. Bush, we have a device that you want to go ahead and put this in your ear. You probably hear a little bit better.
So, Mr. Weatherholtz.
Is that better?
That's a lot better.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to call Mr. Weatherholtz and ask if he can come and be sworn.
Sir, will you state your name for the record?
My name is Vern Weatherholtz, and I live at 3 Granville Circle, Daytona Beach.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
I'm a resident in Granville, and this house is the entrance on Peninsula. They didn't remove the two vehicles that were unlicensed from the back of the house and the side of the house. They moved them to the front. Now, whether they're licensed now or not, I don't know. They have a two-car driveway, and when I came to this meeting there were six cars parked in the front on the grass and in the driveway. So to put that into consideration,
thank you. If I could just say one thing and then if I may, I appreciate Mr. Weatherholtz note, and we'll take a look at that. That will be more for us. That will be an issue of whether or not they're deemed junk vehicles if they're not properly tagged and operable. But as to the violation for parking on the lawn, which is what the violation was, parking vehicles on the lawn. I'm overlooking this. There is a junk vehicle violation. So
is the one in the back.
The inspector indicated that it was back then, and that's something he has not been able to verify either. But as far as everything that you can see and know, it appears to be operable, movable, and it's in compliance.
It sounds to me like this matter is still not totally resolved. If the inspector has to go out and determine that the vehicles have been moved, and is there an issue with respect to whether or not a vehicle has a tag or not?
The vehicles, when it was first sighted, the junk vehicle was behind the fence and the red car. They're no longer there. Now, I didn't see the junk vehicle in the driveway, but I did see the red car in the driveway where it's supposed to be parked backed in. So I can't walk up and look to see if it has a correct tag on it, but if there's any more parking on the grass, that'll be a repeat violation and will be subject to an immediate to come right back for a fine of up to $1,000. So as long as you understand that, that if I go by there today, I'm going to go by, and I'm going to go by tomorrow, and no parking on the grass at all.
And I'm sorry, and you're able to see that as well, right? He's going to let you see the tag and make sure it's okay.
Yeah, I'd like to walk up to go see the tags and things to make sure they're all up to date.
Yeah, okay. Well, the gentleman that was here that spoke before about the number of vehicles that was in the driveway, he pointed out it had a two-car driveway. You know, the thing about it is this lady, she does work, and she has some grandkids and stuff that go and help her do her work. She does cleaning and some repairs on, you know, on properties. That's what she does. And so from time to time, you will have a few extra cars there, but I don't see where that would cause the neighbor a major problem, you know, that's why he would be so concerned about that. It's only a two-car garage. They have two and a driveway, but that she does have extra people up there. And I will make a talk with them about getting them vehicles, the two that's causing the problem, and see if she can't make some way to get rid of it. If she don't, then I will not renew the lease, which is all I've got them on a date on a month-to-month lease right now. And I can see that any time I want to with a 60-day notice, I can solve the problem. But as far as solving a neighbor's problem, you know, the people do have, a lot of times they're even in my driveway. I have a lot of people sometimes visiting me, you know, but and they might stay for a few days, you know, but nevertheless, I will correct the problem that he's referring to. That this is referring to. I'm not going to try to solve his yet, you know, but I will try to solve yours. Okay.
Well, Mr. Bush, the city does have appearance standards, and this picture is sort of telling in a way that it looks to me that the driveway is totally empty, and yet the car is parked out on the lawn.
No, sir. You're actually looking at the side, the north side of the building, and the driveway is on the east side.
It's the yellow one, not the red one?
The yellow one, yeah. And see, the front of the house around here, that they had that, right in that very back side there, they had a truck in the back and that red car out on the grass. They're kind of out in front of the truck, and they've been removed. But the driveway is over here. I just had that house totally repainted. You know, I've done quite a bit of work on it, and we want it to look very good. So we've done quite a bit to it in the last 6 months, and that will not happen again with these people. It might happen with the next one, but not these. You know, and we'll get this problem solved. You know, I don't want it no more than you do. I agree with you totally. I'll do whatever I need to correct it.
Okay. And what's the city's pleasure?
I'm not sure the frequency of his visits to the property. It's a little concerning that he says maybe the next ones will have that problem, but these people won't. And I know that that's more just phraseology. It's not really being coy in any way. Based on the testimony we received, it seems more compelling and necessary for us to do a follow-up inspection, and then we'll proceed there from there with the expectation that we would. So would ask for a finding of non-compliance, next compliance to come into compliance. I mean, next cutoff to come into compliance, and then that time the inspector go out, he'll verify the status of that everything's where it ought to be. And again, the importance is that there's no parking on the grass, on the unimproved surface, and also that there's no junk vehicles. He'll verify those things, and he'll submit a affidavit of compliance, and this case will be over.
Okay.
And he'll do that as soon as he's... you know, you give him the notification, let him come out there so he can see those things, and we'll go from there. Okay.
And once that happens, if it happens again, it gets to a CEB2, which means you'll be right back here.
Yeah.
In other words, you won't get a letter. Okay.
You all won't be notified?
Yeah.
You'll be notified, but you won't have the opportunity to resolve it as simply as you might be at this point.
Resolve it beforehand.
Yeah, you're going to have to stay on top of it, and you're going to have to make sure whatever you have in your agreements with them that the people are on top of it.
I can appreciate that.
Okay. Then I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by February 7, 2018, or be returned to the subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. And if you work with the inspector, hopefully you won't be back here before us again.
Thank you. I don't want to come back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Let's move to number 17, case number SMG-01-1806, Helena W. Montgomery Revocable Trust, dated 12-1709, property located at 405 Wisteria Road. We're here for a finding of compliance or noncompliance. Sir, will you state your name for the record?
Yes, Samuel Harkness.
And will you be sworn?
You raise your hand, please. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Do you agree that the violations existed or occurred as stated in the notices?
Yes.
Okay. We'll turn it over to the city, and they can explain, and you'll have a chance to respond.
The inspector in this case is Mike Fitzgerald. He reports that the property remains in noncompliance, and he's asking for next cutoff for the property to come into compliance. I send to Mr. Fitzgerald for anything, any additional factual information.
Okay. It. I take it this is a rental property?
It was.
Sir, can you step up to the microphone?
Or if you don't mind. And is there currently a tenant in the property?
No, there's not. This took place in the middle of an eviction process for non-payment of rent. And the violations are proceeding. However, Ms. Montgomery has placed this property for sale and will not, and she's going to sell it. She's not going to rent it anymore.
Do you manage the property?
I don't manage it, but we're a friend of the family. She has an illness that she couldn't be here today and asked me to, on her behalf, I do repairs for her and stuff like that for her rental property. But we were neighbors for many years, and we still live across the street from this property, subject property, and that's going to help her out with it.
Okay. Do you have any idea as to how long it will take to bring these damaged items into compliance?
Well, the railings have been replaced. The windows have been fixed. Plaster has been patched. Most of this resulted from the hurricanes. But at the time the complaint became known to us, it was a semi-hostile situation over there, and the eviction was in process, they finally were put out by the sheriff on I believe the 8th of December, and then we were able to go in there and start working on it, which we are in process, but it is also for sale.
Okay. Do you have any idea how long it will take to finish the repairs?
No. The biggest problem is the roof, the damage that was done by the storm. The roofer that we generally have worked with came and looked at it, and he told us that he has like 50 houses ahead of us, and we're still more or less in that situation waiting for him to get out there and make some repairs.
Okay. Mr. Jackson.
Position of the staff remains next cutoff. We believe that he can, if he's not, then if he can show that he's diligently working, and obviously the issue of the owner. One of the things we'd ask is, I kind of missed the swearing in, and the so I don't really have your name, I'm sorry.
Samuel Harkness.
Okay, Mr. Harkness, that, you know, in the future, that if he's representing Ms. Montgomery, that he brings something in writing that can help us
know that it's that he's speaking on her behalf.
Yeah, attorney was going to show up for her, but he had another court date this morning.
I understand. But nevertheless, it's clear that he has knowledge of the property and he's been apparently involved in managing and maintaining it. And so, again, based on what's been said, it appears that they're working on it. Our desire is to see it done by the February cutoff date. If for some reason it's delayed, then keep up with the inspector so that they're diligently working, and I'm sure he'll be considerate of that.
Okay. Mr. Harkness, you've heard, and the most important thing here is to maintain a dialogue with the inspector so they know what you're doing. And therefore, I'm going to order that the property is in non-compliance. I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by February 7, 2018, or be returned to the subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. And just keep the dialogue open with the inspector and show that there is progress.
Yes, I understand.
Okay. All right. Next case is number 18, case number SMG-01-1807, Michael K. Tool, property located at 138 West International Speedway. Is Mr. Tool present? I don't see Mr. Tool present, so Mr. Jackson, if you could state the city's position.
Yes, sir. The inspector in this case is Steve Alderman. Mr. Alderman reports that the property remains in non-compliance. They've obtained the permit for the pool on January 2nd, or one of those early part of January, first few days of the year. And they're working on it. He believes they can have it in compliance by next cutoff. So we're asking for a finding of noncompliance and the February 7th date for compliance.
Okay. Therefore, find the respondent to be in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by February 7, 2018. Or be returned to the subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Okay, next items, case 17 or 19, case number SMG-01-1808, Delbert D. Gale and Carrie Ann Gale, property at 925 Niles Street. Is Delbert D. Gale, Carrie Ann Gale present, or anyone representing them or with respect to their property at 925 Niles Street? Seeing no one, the respondent is not present. Mr. Jackson?
Yes, Mr. Riggio, the inspector in this case is Steve Alderman. Mr. Alderman reports that the property is in noncompliance. Primarily, there's a truck and a wood pile that needs to be taken care of. He believes that could be done by the next cutoff. And he'd ask for that finding, that there'd be finding of noncompliance next cutoff to come into compliance.
Okay. Therefore, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by February 7, 2018, or be returned to the subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Okay. Case 20, case number SMG-01-1809, L.J. Freeman and Robin Spencer. Property located at 1232 Peachtree Road, determination of whether compliance or noncompliance. Is anyone, Mr. Freeman or Ms. Spencer present? No respondent. Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Riggio, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance, the inspector is Steve Alderman. Mr. Alderman reports that he's had no contact from the respondent. No permits have been pulled. He's asking for a finding of noncompliance. Next cutoff to come into compliance.
Okay. I find the respondent to be in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by February 7, 2018. You'll be returned to the subsequent meeting for
for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Okay. Case 21, case number SMG 01-1810, U.S. Bank Trust N.A. as trustee for LSF9 Master Participation Trust, property located at 1200 Sunland Road. Anyone here on behalf of U.S. Bank Trust as trustee? No respondent. Mr. Jackson.
Ms. Riggio, the inspector in this case is Steve Alderman. Mr. Alderman reports that the property remains in non-compliance. It's an abandoned structure. There's a list pending filed. We have registered with our property registration and have notified the property manager. The property remains in non-compliance. Next call for it to be brought into compliance is the request.
Okay. I note that one of the items is a swimming pool enclosure. Is there sufficient enclosure to keep people from getting into the swimming pool area?
I'd have to look to Mr. Alderman, and I'd ask that he come and respond.
Mr. Jew? No, it's not secured. There is one gate on the north side that closes, but there is a gate completely missing on the south entrance, both of them from the front side of Sunland Street. The pool has been attempted to be covered. As you can see by the photos, there's a blue safety tarp over top of it, but the access is not completed. The property manager does know. The owner is in San Diego. The property manager is in Atlanta, and I did find their contact number, and as soon as I sent them a copy of the NOV and a couple of photos, I heard nothing since then.
Mr. Jackson, does the city have any special processes or whatever to put in place when you have a unsecured pool?
Well, we usually start with we shorten our time for compliance, make them notify them of that, and then anything else would be really outside of the purview of the code board. But there's things that the city can look into. I know we've had some situations where we get with the county and. In terms of making sure if it's an issue of in this situation it's unsecure, so it may require us to have to take some action to secure it in the same manner that we would any other structure that is a hazard.
But that's outside the purview of this board, other than bringing them back for a compliance, non-compliance determination.
Yeah, so, I mean, you always can you know, make requests that the city take action. But the actions would be outside the actual purview of the board.
Okay.
Or the magistrate.
Okay.
I guess you would, I'm being reminded by Ms. Hampton that one of the things you can do is authorize the city to secure the pool. So maybe that authorization would be beneficial to us as we make the next plan on what we need to do if we don't get contact or action from the owner or respondent.
Who makes that authorization?
You can authorize the city to take that action, the board or the magistrate.
Okay.
So as part of your order, authorize the city to secure the pool.
Okay. Well, therefore, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by February 7, 2018, or be returned to the subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day, and authorize the city to take such actions as are necessary to secure the pool.
Okay. One of the things, if maybe want to amend, is recognizing the urgency of the circumstance, we tend to ask that we do a two-part order, ordering that the pool be secure within a certain time period, within 10 days. By the owner, and failing that, be subject to a fine,
okay.
And then an addition, then the ultimate compliance.
All right. Well, then I amend my order to provide that the pool be secured within 10 days, or the city is authorized to take such action as is necessary. The pool is secured by the owner within 10 days, and if not, the city is authorized to take such actions as are necessary to secure the pool.
Okay. And failing that.
to bring the pool in compliance within those 10 days, to be subject to a fine of up to $1,000 per day.
Failing that, the pool, the violation for the pool would be subject to, is it $5,000?
No, $1,000.
$1,000 per day.
Yes, sir. I think we covered it all.
And then we still have a compliance, for full compliance by February
7th, 2018. Yeah, I think you said. Yes, the pool compliance, but the securing of the premises, the area around the pool, is within 10 days of today.
Thank you.
And after that, a fine in the amount of $1,000 per day be levied. Next case is case 22, case number SMG-01-1811, Budget Builders Wholesale Lumber Company. This is property located at 120 Terracina Way. Are those people here on behalf of Budget Builders or?
Apparently not.
Okay.
Okay.
Is anyone here on behalf of Budget Builders Wholesale Lumber Company? We'll go through these individually, but all the rest of the agenda appears to be Budget Builders.
And Mr. Riggio, I would say that the violation is exactly the same for each.
Okay.
And so with them not being here, the inspectors, John Stinson, Mr. Stinson reports that he spoke with a property manager, but what's happened is that they constructed a group of homes there at in Grand Champion, and they're all rented, and they've never obtained business tax receipts or rental licenses. And so that's the circumstance with each one of these, and we're asking that they be found in noncompliance and be given until next cutoff to come into compliance. And I would tender Mr. Stinson to speak further if there's anything else he needs to add to that.
Good morning, John Stinson, Code Inspector with the City. My crop case is on file. As Mr. Jackson stated, this is a simple lack of rental licensing and inspection along with the business tax receipt. It's a new development off of Strickland Range Road, and it's the entire street on one side, basically.
Okay.
This one builder built the homes, and they're all occupied now, and he just needs to get licensing for them. I've been in contact with the Bartoks, the name of the owners of the company, and they have just returned back in town, and they should be applying for all of these licenses, because it's not only this, but there's another section in the city as well. So they'll be doing all of this at one time.
Do you believe they will be in compliance by the next cutoff date?
They could be, yes.
Why don't we set it for the next one? And if there's something, then they can explain at the next hearing as to why they're not in compliance.
Sounds good.
Is this also subject, I know there's a $250 administrative fine for not obtaining a business tax receipt?
Yes, sir. They will be subject to the $250 administrative fine in addition to the standard code fine of $1,000 per day if they fail to comply.
And is that imposed if they fail to come into compliance? Or
on the business tax receipt. That's the maximum imposed based on statutory limitation.
Okay. But if they do come into compliance, then that would not be assessed against them?
That's correct.
Okay.
It'd be assessed whatever standard penalties for late filing or whatever else they, whatever standard in the filing.
Okay. So what I'm going to do, I know it would be tempting to put all of them in one order, but I think it would be ultimately simpler to do individual
one so that for each property, since we're dealing with separate properties, and if there is a glitch with any particular one, we're not holding up the whole thing.
Certainly, and I would agree. I think it's interesting since they're relatively new construction. It should be something they can have done by next cutoff, but you never know. They all have tenants. Anything can be going on.
Okay. Then with respect to case number SMG-01-18-11, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and or the respondent to come into compliance by February 7, 2018, or be returned to the subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 today and the imposition of up to $250 administrative fine for failure to have a business tax receipt. Okay. For case number 23, case number SMG-01-18-12, Budget Builders Wholesale Lumber Company, property at 124 Terracina Way, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance, nor the respondent to come into compliance by February 7, 2018, or be returned to the subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day and the imposition of up to a $250 administrative fine for failure to have a business tax receipt. Okay. Case number 24, case number SMG-01-18-13, Budget Builders Wholesale Lumber Company, property located at 132 Terracina Way. I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by February 7, 2018 or be returned to the subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day and imposition of up to a $250 administrative fine for failure to have a business tax receipt. Case number 25, case number SMG-01-18-14, Budget Builders Wholesale Lumber Company, property located at 144 Terracina Way. I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by February 7, 2018 or be returned to the subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day and the imposition of up to $250 administrative fine for failure to have a business tax receipt. Finally, case number 26, case number SMG-01-18-15, Budget Builders Wholesale Lumber Company, property located at 196 Terracina Way. I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by February 7, 2018 or be returned to the subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day and the imposition of up to a $250 administrative fine for failure to have a business tax receipt. Okay. That completes our business. Is there any miscellaneous business?
No, sir.
Okay. It is 10:51. Proceedings are adjourned.